to everybody who has dialed in. As you all know, the talks in Switzerland between the P5+1 and Iran over its nuclear program appear to be on the verge of a conclusion of a framework agreement. So to help us understand the ramifications of this, we are joined today by Brigadier General Yossi Cooper-Wasser. He is the former Director General of the Ministry of Strategic Affairs, and he has been intimately involved with the subject for many years. Mr. Cooper-Wasser, please give us a quick summary of Israel's position as the talks appear to be nearing a conclusion.
Thank you, and welcome to everybody. As you all know, Israel is extremely concerned and worried with the kind of agreement that is being worked out in Lausanne. And our assessment is that this deal would enable Iran to be a threshold nuclear state that, in a time of its choosing, will be able to cross this threshold within a relatively short period of time, and maybe even without being noticed on time to enable the international community to take the necessary steps to stop it before it reaches a nuclear weapon. And the fact is that judging by the everything that is being reported about the talks, the Iranians seem to have an extremely good deal, and they managed to protect all those issues that were really important for them. And some of those issues, there's still some ambiguity that we cannot know what's exactly happening. But some of them are clearly successful bargaining for the Iranians, especially because this bargaining was conducted in a way that enabled the Iranians to set forth the framework and some of the basic assumptions upon which these negotiations were carried out. So that once they, for example, said, we are not going to roll back any major facility, this was immediately accepted as something that is coming from above and nobody can rule it out. So the most important thing for the Iranians and the most important success and the most important source of concern for Israel is the fact that Iran has managed to keep the Fordow facility that is only there for military purposes. Nobody builds a facility 60 meters underground that can host only 3,000 centrifuges for any other purpose but military, the enrichment of uranium for military purposes. At the same time, it's totally unclear what's going to happen with the number of centrifuges and what's going to happen to the centrifuges that are going to be dismantled or disconnected. If the infrastructure of these centrifuges is not totally dismantled, and if the configuration of the centrifuges that are being left in the hands of the Iranians is going to be such that it can be reversed and be put back in full capacity, this would mean that within a very short period of time, the Iranians will have 20,000 centrifuges operating in Natanz and in Fordow that would enable them to have a nuclear weapon quantity of enriched uranium for a nuclear weapon within a very, very short period of time. So all in all, this leaves this agreement, and there are so many other issues on this agreement that are a source of concern, like, for example, the fact that it's going to be limited for only a few years, doesn't matter if a year more or a year less, that the potential military dimensions that the International Atomic Energy Agency was supposed to have a full report from the Iranians about is not actually dealt with, and in spite of Mr. Amano's repeated reports that the Iranians are not doing anything about this, this doesn't stop the negotiations. The fact that the ballistic missiles are not inside this deal, and so on and so forth. There are so many empty spaces over there that indicate that this agreement is going to be extremely dangerous, that there is no way for Israel not to be worried. And by the way, Israel is not the only party that is worried. So are many people in the West, most experts in the West. If you read what the former director of the inspection team in the International Atomic Energy Agency is writing, Mr. Olli Heinonen, you see that he thinks that this deal is a very dangerous deal. And so are, of course, the Arabs in our region that are sick and worried of the possibility that Iran will become a nuclear power or left as a threshold the nuclear state that will later on become a nuclear power, and they already make very clear statements about what they're going to do about it. So we are just on the verge of a nuclear arms race that would, in all practical means, put an end to the NPT. Again, from whatever aspect you look at what's coming, we have the good reasons to be worried. We tried very hard to speak to reason, to alert and alarm the people of the world to what's coming. Many people listened. We saw how impressive was the reaction from the U.S. Congress on that. But this is not enough, and it seems that those who are the decision makers are not impressed, and they moved in the same direction. So, as I said, we are extremely concerned with what's happening. This would be an opening, I would say.
Okay, we have many questions, and I'll try to get to all of them. But firstly, Israeli news outlets are reporting that Israel appears to be changing its strategy to an acceptance of the fact that a deal appears imminent. How true is this, and what steps will Israel take now to deal with the outcome of this framework agreement?
Well, Israel is not a party to the talks, so it doesn't really matter if we accept or do not accept. We are not asked to give our permission for anybody to sign the deal. We were worried all along the way that this is what's going to happen, and we know that there is a possibility that an agreement will be signed in spite of what we are saying. And this was our major concern all along the way. At this point, when we are so close to the potential deal, we are definitely not blind, and we understand that something like that may happen in the coming few days, and we are extremely concerned. What can we do about it? I think first and foremost, we shall keep fighting against it and create alliances with our friends who also are so worried about the implications of this deal for the people of the Middle East, for the peace of the world, and are determined to do what's necessary in order to prevent this deal from coming into effect. So I guess you'll see a continuation of the battle against this kind of a deal by Israel, by the opponents of such a deal in the Western world, and by the Arab world. This is going to be what we're going to see. At the same time, we have said many times that we keep the option of doing whatever we see necessary in order to slow down the way the Iranians continue to move forward towards a nuclear weapon. And between us here and this conference call, I'd say that it is now more than 27 years since the Iranians started this endeavor to have a nuclear weapon. And judging by their technical capabilities, they should have had the nuclear weapon by now. If they don't have it, it's because Israel has managed to form a global opposition to this attempt, and because of other things that Israel has done, and also because of some things that the Americans have done and the Europeans have done through this period. So there are ways to keep Iran away from nuclear capability. One thing that we should have to do if such a deal comes into effect is to increase our intelligence efforts, because my feeling is that the inspection that is going to be there is not going to be such that would enable the international community to really know what's happening inside Iran. I cannot believe that the Iranians are going to accept that the international community will have unlimited access to their intelligence facilities, to the military facilities, to the facilities of the that belong to the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. And since this is going to be the case, they would be able to continue using those facilities for whatever they want. And I'm afraid that there's going to be some reluctancy on behalf of many people who are going to be signed to this agreement to really expose the violations of the Iranians. So because this would be very frustrating and problematic. So I think Israel would have to be the watchdog that would be able to tell the world, listen, this is what's happening. And that would cost us a lot of money and efforts, but there's no other way to move away from this.
Okay, is there any last-minute addition to the wording that could make the pill significantly less bitter for Israel to swallow? Is there one tweak that could prove lastingly important?
There are many, but I don't believe that any of this is going to happen, according to the information coming from Lausanne. If, for example, for those to be dismantled, it's a major step forward. If all the infrastructure that was used for the centrifuges are going to be disconnected, is going to be totally dismantled and destroyed, this is going to be something that would be a positive sign. These are the things that may be the spoonful of sugar that would make the medicine go down. But it's still going to be a medicine. It's still going to be bitter.
Okay, are the events in Yemen playing have any influence here?
I haven't seen nothing influences the talks about the nuclear Iranian program. It's amazing. The Iranians do what they do all over the Middle East. They take over Iraq. They control Syria. They now are in the midst of the effort to rule Yemen. We see what's happening in Lebanon. Everything that's happening, and still the talks go on as if nothing happens. It doesn't matter what's happening inside Iran. The UN rapporteur about human rights in Iran just came out with a terrible report about what's happening in Iran, as the number of executions rose dramatically in the last year and even in the last 2 months. No impact on the talks with the Iranians. The Iranians keep chanting "death to America, death to Israel." No impact on the talks. Israel has given very sensitive information to impress people that what is actually happening in Iran. We gave information about what was actually happening in Parchin. We said that what happened in Parchin, according to our information, was that they were using internal neutron source, which is something that is only used for the production of nuclear weapons. And it's not dual use, there's only one use for that. Nobody made any reference to that. So it doesn't matter what happens. Everybody's fixated on having this deal with the Iranians. And I don't see that what's happening in the Middle East has any impact.
Okay, so looking at the region, do you think that a framework agreement will allow Iran to increase its involvement in other countries? Or do you think that at least for the first year or so of the deal, Iran will have to lower its profile in places like Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, and Bahrain?
On the contrary, what I think is that if there is a deal, the message that would be sent to the people of the Middle East is that look how powerful we are, the Iranians. We managed to force the entire world to bow in front of us. This goes very well in line with our message that the West is empty. The West has no values. All they want is to exist and to enjoy themselves in their hedonistic world. That's why they are so weak, and that's why we can take advantage of them, and that's why we can kick them out of the Middle East. And that's why you should listen to us, because you cannot rely on the West to protect you. The West is not able to protect itself. So how can you protect you? How can you rely on the Americans to protect you? And that's the message many people in the Middle East get. And that's why you listen to the Saudis and others saying, we don't want to rely on the Americans. We want to have a bomb of our own. We would rather have something of our own to rely on. And the message from the Iranian point of view would be, if the West is so weak, why won't we have greater influence in the Middle East, taking advantage of the weakness of the West? That's the way this deal is going to be interpreted in the Middle East, unfortunately. And the other thing they're going to say is, look, we are smart. So it's not only that we are powerful, we are also smart. We give some nice words about the fatwa, and we give some nice words about that we want to be a positive element. And here it is. Everybody accept us and want to let us have a positive role in the region. No Arab buys this kind of messages. But it seems that the West is all for it. I cannot avoid reminding myself of the peace speeches of Hitler during the 30s. You know, he gave a list of many proposals for peace and peace talks and whatever. But everybody knew, or some people knew, what is he trying to achieve. So we shouldn't fool ourselves about what the Iranians are trying to achieve. The Iranians are trying to rule the Middle East, as they are saying. Ali Younesi just said it a few days ago. And they are trying to rule the Middle East and to change the world order. That's what they want. And they need for that nuclear weapon. And they're going to have it. And in their mind, at least, they think they're going to have it as a result of this deal. Maybe not
okay,
tomorrow.
So,
they have time.
So going back to what people have been calling for, quote-unquote, ironclad verification that would be necessary for any agreement, what verification steps are in place that you know of, and what verification steps are lacking that would make the framework at least meet Israel's minimal conditions?
First of all, we don't believe in inspections. It's the Iranians are the masters of the hide and cheat technique. So any inspection is not going to be good enough. What you need is intelligence. And but if you are going to convince yourself that you have inspection framework that would be enough, you may ease the pressure on intelligence needs, and that's very dangerous. Secondly, if there is an inspection system, it has to be such that enables you to have unlimited access to any place, any time, without any limitations. I don't believe the Iranians are going to give that. And if this happens, this is going to be nice. But I cannot see the Iranians allowing anybody to enter, for example, Lavizan 3. I don't know if there is a facility over there, but Mujahideen Khalq reported there is an enrichment facility in Lavizan 3. Have you seen anybody going there to find out if this is true or not? I haven't seen it. And I listened carefully to what the CIA director said about the capabilities of the Americans in this respect from intelligence point of view. I didn't get the feeling that this is convincing enough that he's going to be able to find everything if he needs to know about it. Maybe there are improvements. I hope so. But you don't get the feeling that, that probably it's not the case, that we can rely today on intelligence to know everything. Between us, we know. The information about Fordu came late. The information about what's happening in Natanz came late. It takes time. It takes time to know what's happening. And if the Iranians will be determined to break out or to sneak out, and that's even more dangerous, to sneak out towards a bomb, it would take time to find out about it in the kind of inspection system that you can envisage as a product of these Lausanne talks.
Okay, Yossi Cooper-Wasser, thank you so much for your time and sharing your comments with us today.
Thank you.